you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It's Wednesday, October 24th, 2018. Jason, have you ever had that song that just keeps coming into your mind or your head, like after a few days of hearing it, maybe on the radio or singing it in church or something?
Those are probably 85% of my iTunes purchases, or when a song comes into my head and I can't get rid of it, and then I go and buy a copy of it.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, because sometimes, you know, when I'm scanning the dial and maybe hit a oldies station or something, you get influenced by those songs. And I've been grateful the last few days, and probably because of the Singing Men rehearsal, I've been going through that Deck the Hall with Boughs of Holly, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la.
That's the one that stuck in your mind?
Yeah, that one. Uh-huh. Well, there's this point where, let's see. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. No, I like when it goes into the...
You know, you're not supposed to bring Christmas out until after Halloween.
Yeah, that's right.
Didn't you remember your grocery store days? Yeah. Not until Halloween night can you set up the Christmas things.
Yes.
Already you're trying to...
Oh, there it is. Oh, well, I like this part where we go, follow me in mercy. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Oh, anyways, I won't sing it. But that one's been in my head, and it's kind of influenced me in a positive vein, which reminded me how I do want to be careful and conscientious of what, you know, garbage in, garbage out. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, we have one of these... Hey, Google, what are those things called, those mini Google?
You have that thing that listens to you?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Because I'll say, hey, Google, play some Michael Card music. Hey, Google, play some, you know, Steve Green. Or so I've been doing that at night once in a while because I figure before I go to sleep, I want to have some God-honoring music playing through my head. Yeah. This Deck the Halls.
Did you get that thing?
That came when we got these. You purchased that Nest, the Nest thermostat. And so they had a deal going some months ago. If you bought one of the Nests, you get the free mini Google, mini, I don't know, whatever that thing
is. So here, we'll try this, because this is maybe apropos and might make some of our listeners smile.
Looking for the perfect gift for the believer on your list this holiday season?
Alexa, what's the weather?
The sun is raining.
Say hello to Christian Alexa, the believer's alternative to the Amazon Echo.
Alexa, play Kanye West.
How about Matthew West?
Now everything you love about the Echo, except super Christian.
Alexa, text Vanessa, can't wait to see you soon, kissy face emoji.
Is that really guarding her heart?
With advanced situational recognition, Christian Alexa is here to encourage.
Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength.
He's trying to open spaghetti jar.
Always wanted to be a better Christian? Well, now you can with Christian Alexa.
Let no unwholesome talk come out of your
because
mouth.
He was just getting ready to
and
swear.
Each Christian Alexa is uniquely programmed to help you with your individual struggles.
Hey, you want something to drink?
That better be a Coke bottle.
Order your Christian Alexa today and begin seeing immediate life improvements.
Let's eat.
How about let's pray?
From the makers of Pure Flix and GodTube comes Christian Alexa.
Alexa, play Game of Thrones.
Are you sure you should be watching that?
Give the gift of Christian Alexa and have a happy holiday.
You mean Merry Christmas.
You know what? Let's just listen to some music. You want to do that?
Yeah.
Alexa, play a song to set the mood.
How about I call your accountability partner?
Oh, dear.
All right, Christian Alexa. Now available at Family Bookstore.
Oh, classic. Yeah, it's interesting. You can say, you know, what's the weather? Or, hey, set the alarm for 6:15 tomorrow, and it's pretty amazing.
But didn't you see there was an experiment that a couple did, and they don't have a cat, but what they did is whenever they were around their Alexa, they wouldn't ask it questions, but they would just say, hey, you know, we need to get food for the cat. Hey, you know, the cat food is out. They had a little piece of paper, and every time they walked by, they would just mention things about cat food. All of a sudden, when they picked up their cell phones and turned on their computer the next day, they began to get all kinds of advertising for cat food.
Yeah.
So this thing is like listening all day long to what you're doing. And those companies now, I guess, admittedly say it's true. They call it, computer learning or something.
Yeah, I believe so. In fact, the other day, I said, hey, play Great News Radio. I just wanted to see if it would. And it started playing.
Did it go, ding? How about WBGL?
Yeah, that's right. But it started playing. I was like, how did it discern or know that? And Holly said she had programmed it. I guess you can also say these are the stations I want put into some kind of system. Because I thought, how did it know to play that? Because I have asked it to play some Christian music of late, but I guess you can also pre-program it or assign certain channels or whatever. But it started playing 89.3, and I said, hey, how do we get 102.5 WGNN also into it? So anyways, yeah, I was kind of amazed that it can do that, and it'll say, what are the top news stories? Or I'll say, hey, tell me a joke.
Oh, really? So, it tells you a joke?
Yeah, and you have to say whether you're a child or adult joke. An adult joke is not like a mature joke. It's just, you know, more pithy or something. It's not like adult. And so, yeah, you have to say, hey, Google. So this is a Google device or something. Hey, Google, tell me a knock-knock joke. And so, I don't know. Yeah, I don't spend much time with it, but
Why do we need people? We just talk to Google now.
That's right. So, anyways, but it did help me think through some of these songs that are going into my head. And there is that passage, my verse of the day that comes in, you know, whatever is true, whatever is noble, what is
Philippians.
Right, think about such things. And that's that garbage in, garbage out. If you're not reading your Bible on a daily basis, if you're not being influenced by Christian conversations, brothers and sisters in the Lord, it'd be easy to drift. And with the culture influencing us to such a great degree, we really have to guard our hearts. That's another, proverb?
Well, it's not even guarding your hearts. I don't want to go too deep because, nobody will show up on Sunday morning. But that's, that's the beatitude that we're actually studying this Sunday at our church is, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And so the idea is, what do you hunger and thirst for? You are essentially what you eat. What you take in is what will come out of your heart. And Jesus is very specific about that, right? Doesn't he say, out of the overflow of the heart comes, whatever, deceit, malice, and immorality, if that's what you fill your heart with. And so, we have to be careful what we put into our heart because that's what will come out. That's been a proven thing now where pornography is concerned, where men who consume pornography, they can't understand how to be intimate. And so what happens is what they filled into their hearts, these negative messaging and this negative stuff about intimacy with women via pornography, comes back out in their inability to actually be intimate with their spouse, to actually have any kind of intimacy. And so what we put in can really affect us. And so, there are people who say, well, that just sounds legalistic. You got to watch what you watch and watch what you listen to. But you really do. You really do. I mean, if you don't, you're going to be at some point a shadow of what it is that you consume. And so you just need to be careful.
I know you and I were kidding about and talking about our return since Israel. And those 11 days when we were focused on prayer and worship and Bible teaching, things were so simple and wonderful and great. And it's like the rat race and all the decisions and the pressures and the transition back to all the stuff that competes for our time where we were kind of undivided in our energy and efforts to grow and to learn and to hear God's voice. And it's like, wow. I mean, that's one of my takeaways from this past trip is you had asked me, last week, but I've been thinking about how do I continue to capture those wonderful times, basically, because we spent quality and quantity time with the Lord focused on a pilgrimage growing. And so I keep thinking, how can I continue to have that input of good stuff and stories and influence and help? So,
yeah, I think that you've got to have just these healthy patterns. Since we've come back, what we do is my wife and I, regardless of how cold it was, we try in every day to walk and go out and walk a couple miles. The phone stays at home. Everything kind of stays at home. And we just walk and we just laugh and we just talk. And sometimes we don't say anything and we just walk. And I just, I think that that's healthy. And it's not just healthy because it's a health benefit. I think it's healthy just to be out and to move amongst, you said this so many times, your nature trail and that, move amongst nature, just to be out and be part of the world and not, let the world run you. I mean, you're just walking. And, we joke about it on the Israel trip because we say that, when you're trying to get the group to move along, you say walking, walking, walking. But really, it's just this reminder that we need to keep moving and moving in positive directions towards the Lord, because that's really in Israel what we're doing, right? We're walking to the next place where we're going to discuss, we're going to pray, we're going to seek after the Lord. And that's why we always tell people, these are pilgrimages. These are not vacations. because, you know, for some people, there are a couple of days that might be tough on this trip, and it's not tough physically, it's not tough, it's tough spiritually, because the Lord might meet you, and when he meets you, he wants to tell you something, something that you haven't allowed. You've stood in the way of him telling you back here, because you've got high fences and high walls that you guard yourself with so that he can't talk to you about these certain things. You've got a junk drawer that you're fearful to open, so you know, you hold that thing tight. And you don't let his spirit address what's going on in that junk drawer. But he takes you over there and he disarms you. He puts you on a place like the Southern Steps. He puts you on a place like Capernaum. He puts you on a place where you're kind of overwhelmed with what's going on around you. That there's an opening. And he gets in there. And we've had so many times people say that. You know, impactful moments where they just weep or they cry or they just are like in awe. And sometimes we've had those, you know. Many times. I think I have one every trip, but... You know, this last trip, I think, was very special. I really enjoyed the folks. I enjoy every group that we take. But this last trip, the Lord was spoke in some very profound ways. Mm-hmm. And so very excited about all of that.
Yeah, well, I should tell you, I've already had 5 people thus far. And that's usually how the Lord starts stirring a future trip. Ask me, what are the dates for 2019? Mm-hmm. Do you have another trip planned? 3 were on the trip. And then 2 other people, one that had hoped to go on the trip that had to cancel at the end, they wanted to know. And then another person had asked. And in fact, Jason Gingle, I'll share his name, he was on the trip. He said, when are you going again? I want to return. Mm. And I guess I can say this. He's not a believer yet. Mm-hmm. He's Jewish. And he saw fit to come on the trip. And he thoroughly enjoyed it. He told me it was a wonderful trip. He participated in much of the activities and the teachings and, you know, was engaged and was encouraged by all the Christians. But for him to already tell me when's the next trip, mm-hmm. I want to return, I was like kind of shocked because it was, I won't say awkward for him at times, but, you know, we praised God, we worshiped, we prayed. And I think some of the practices that we as Christians, mm-hmm. as evangelicals, that we do and honor God's word and love to divide it and talk about it and wrestle with it was maybe a new experience for him. But I think because, like you said, so many people were loving and caring and supportive and mm-hmm. and were just growing throughout the trip, that I think that fragrance of Christ opened his eyes to what Christians are all about. And to say that he's looking forward to the next trip, I was kind of shocked. But I think, again, God was working in, you know, that onion, many different layers, mm-hmm. In different ways.
Well, I think that we've got to be real careful because we think that the battle is ours to win, and the battle's not mine to win. God's Spirit is the one who wins that battle, the one who brings people to faith. His Spirit does it, not me. I'm simply the messenger. I'm simply the one who comes, and God tells me what to do. He tells me to show up. He tells me to love. He tells me to share truth. He tells me to be kind and to be patient, to be long-suffering like him. But he doesn't tell me to disassociate with those who don't believe.
Right.
I mean, he really doesn't. He says, you know, we have to be amongst them. Paul, I think about so often how, you know, he went to Athens and went into the marketplace, and then he went into that sea of idols, of all these other beliefs. And he found the one thing that nobody was talking about, and he preached about that. And he allowed it to be a pathway to God for people to be able to understand. And even that passage says, it doesn't say everybody who was there believed. It said some were interested, and they asked him to talk some more. And so, you know, I mean, maybe that equates to the modern-day kind of context is, when's the next trip? I want to have another conversation in the land.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's got to find a starting place, and it's a little bit arrogant for us to believe that we know what that is for everybody, because that says that I know better than... It does subtly say that I know better than what God's Spirit knows. Uh-huh. And so I want to trust God's Spirit to lead in these areas. And there's a lot of people who probably will hear me say that and go, well, that's just, you know, that's not right. You know, there's truth and that's... Yeah, there is. But you know what? We need to trust that God is going to lead us in this. And that it's going to be uncomfortable. If everything is on my terms, then it's not on God's terms, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it needs to be on God's terms, and that'll lead us into some very uncomfortable places. Our friend Moshe, down from Shorshim Shop on Rambam Square in the Old City of Jerusalem, you know, he's quite fond of saying that we're really good at talking at each other, but the problem of talking at each other is that we miss each other, you know, and we need to start talking to one another. And what that means is I'm going to have to lay down a few things, and I'm never going to lay down the Bible, I'm never going to lay down the truth of who Jesus Christ is, I'm never going to lay those things down. but I might need to lay down some of my discomfort, some of those things, so that I can listen, so I can hear what he's saying, and so that I can figure out how, where he's at, I can love him. Because if I don't do that, then what's the point? I mean, and he rightly says, when I get around you Christians, all you do is preach salvation. And you know what? If we're really honest, we might have to own that. We might have to own that sometimes what we do is we preach salvation. And that's because I believe salvation is important. But Jesus never says to preach salvation necessarily. He said to go and to love. Your preaching should be the way you love people. And the way that you come. Now, in that, you're going to have moments to preach salvation and the truth of who Jesus Christ is. But you've got to earn that currency to be in somebody's life. I mean, you and I always say we go to, you know, we go to Moshi's shop. And sometimes we see people, you know, in there who are just like, you know, well, you know, Moshi, I just don't understand. You just need the love of Christ. You just need to, you know. And the way they talk to him, you kind of, as a spectator, you go, wow, I wouldn't want to want what they want either, the way that they're talking.
Yeah, they're mean-spirited, or they're judgmental, or they're accusatory.
Right.
And I like where Moshe oftentimes will say, I love the Father. Father God, you know, we follow the rules. You Christians look at us as, why do you follow all those rules, and why do you do all that? We delight in the Father.
Right.
We want to please Him. I mean, He gives us a shift in thinking to help us better understand that, you know, their hearts are trying to serve and love God, and and they're trying to understand, you know, why Christians are so focused on the salvation, yet forget the whole element of loving the Father and serving Him and bringing Him praise.
Yeah, well, you know, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, and the peacemakers are not people who are passive-aggressive and just kind of like, you know, don't rock the boat. Peacemakers are people who actively come and make peace by the power of God's Spirit. Meaning that when you come into a situation, you're actually actively asking God what to do. And listen, some of the boldest moves that the Apostle Paul made were where he restrained his human self to allow the Spirit to speak. Kindness, patience. I mean, I love how Paul writes to Timothy, and he says to Timothy, you know, that these are the things you need to do, Timothy, that through patience they might come to repentance. He doesn't say through your constant preaching and leaning into them. He says through your patience, they might come to repentance, which means that for some people that we walk with, it's a long road.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, it's a shorter road. We never give up the truth. I never say that. We never lay the Bible aside. I hate when people say that. Well, we're just going to set the Bible aside and have a conversation. I never had that, because that's what I begin with and that's what I end with. But the Bible tells me that loving people, listening to people, not trying to formulate my argument is what, you know, just this morning my family was reading James, and James says, you know, that be slow to speak.
Yeah, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry.
Yeah, it's slow to become angry. And I thought, gosh, Lord, I'm quick to speak, quick to get angry, and I don't always listen.
I think everyone's arm is going up. That's me.
Right. And so just think about when you're in a situation with somebody who doesn't believe, or who is in process of trying to believe. What are we doing? We're trying to formulate our next apologetic argument. We're trying to, and I'm not against apologetics. I'm not against all those things. But sometimes I think we just need to shut up and listen.
Yeah.
Shut up and listen so that I can understand, because I guarantee you that this person whom you are praying for, this person whom you're in relationship with, this person whom you would desire nothing more than to see come to the Lord, when they're sharing with you and you're listening, God is going to point out the chink in the armor. Because if somebody talks long enough, you're going to hear where that weakness is. You're going to hear this place where you can love them. And when I say chink in the armor, I don't mean where you attack. It's where you love. You'll hear, I mean, I've been with people who, you know, all of a sudden in deep into a conversation, you start to go, wow, I think this person's really hurt by, like, things their father did.
Right.
I can really love them in that area.
Right.
You know, or wow, this person's really struggling with lust. I need to love them in that and encourage them away from that. I mean, if somebody talks long enough and you listen well enough, you're going to uncover how to love them. And if you are in the Spirit and loving them like Jesus, at some point it will become evident that your love transcends your ability to love, and that they're really being loved by Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what happens when people have this revelation of Jesus. What they really see is they're being loved by one of God's people. And what they realize is they go, wow, Mark is so loving, but Mark's not really that loving. So how can Mark be this loving?
No, that's right.
And all of a sudden they realize that there's something bigger at work in this moment. And it's not Mark, it's the Lord. And that's when their heart kind of surrenders and goes, I gotta accept this. But sometimes we want to do that so quick. And sometimes I think, too, one of our other things, we're running out of time, but is that we always want to be the last guy in line, right? We want to be the guy who led the person to the Lord. You know, we need to be more comfortable and be okay with being like number three, number four, number five, number two. You know, just the person who moved the process along, who helped to pour into this person's life and encourage them towards the Lord. Every single one of us wants to be Billy Graham. Nobody wants to be Billy's driver.
Yeah.
But you know what? Billy Graham never – that quote actually came from Billy Graham. Billy Graham said, everybody wants to be Billy Graham. Nobody wants to be Billy Graham's driver. But Billy Graham couldn't have gotten to the revival without the driver.
Right, right, right. And what's that verse? In fact, it had a profound impact on me on the trip, and I'm just reminded of it. Where even when we're right, we give up that.
Oh, yeah. Matthew 17.
Okay, I want to write this down. Okay, Matthew.
Matthew 17, where Jesus is asked about the temple tax, and Jesus is right. He says, who pays the taxes? Do the king's sons pay taxes in the kingdom? And Peter says, no, they don't. How could they pay taxes? They're the king's son. And Jesus says, that's right. I'm the king's son. That's my house, the temple. I don't pay the tax. But so not to give offense.
So not to give offense.
Yeah, let's pay the tax. Jesus is right. He's totally right. And then he goes, you know what? But it doesn't give me a license to be offensive.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think in our rightness, we can just look in culture in this today, in our rightness, we think we have a license to be offensive. The gospel is already offensive enough. I don't need to be more offensive. It's already, the Bible says, is going to be offensive enough, the message of love and of the gospel. You want to offend somebody? Love them. I mean, really, because that's going to offend some people. That's really going to offend people that are, go up and just give somebody a hug and watch. Are they going to be like, oh, I feel so warm and cuddly? Are they going to be like, when are you going to let go of me? This is really awkward.
Yeah.
Because people don't know how to be loved. We live in a culture where people are not accustomed to be loving. And so when you love them, that is offensive. They think you're up to something. They think you're doing something. They think you're weird. They think you're going to like go crazy or mental in a few minutes. I mean, you don't have to be offensive for the sake of being offensive. The message you carry, the things that you'll do because of that message are already offensive. Don't be more offensive.
Well, and I think also our tendency when we're right, we want to pour it on and we want to win the argument because we're right. And what I learned as you were preaching and talking about this is there's sometimes that we give up that right to be right, even though we're right, that sometimes, like the Lord, we humble ourselves and we say, you know, I'm right on this, but so that I don't offend you, so that I can encourage you, so that I can love you, I'm going to sacrifice maybe my own pride or my position or being right. You know, how we like to be right and win the argument and lose the war. And so what I was just learning, or the conviction from this passage out of Matthew 17, is sometimes even when I'm right, I can defer or not surrender, submit, but relax that I don't have to be the winner out of this. That I,
you know, this is a great conversation. What I think we should do is, because there's never enough time, is we should continue this conversation on Friday, because this is really a rich conversation that really I don't see the end yet in sight.
Okay. So read up in Matthew chapter 17, and we'll take it from here on Friday's edition of Mark and Friends. But yeah,
Don't Friday.
Okay.
Friday. You got the hook.
All right, everyone. Well, now you have it. Tune in again on Friday. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
Are we teaching the truth in love? Telling are we teaching the truth?